Sijami tapasai vedam.
Sijami tapasai vedam.
Vrasami tapasa punah.
Vrasami tapasa punah.
Vibharmi tapasa vishvam.
Vibharmi tapasa vishvam.
Viryam me duscharam tapah.
Viryam me duscharam tapah.
Sijami tapasai vedam. Word-for-word meanings, Sijami,
Sijami.
I create.
Tapasa,
by the same energy of penance,
Eva,
certainly,
Idam,
this, Grasami
tapasa,
I do withdraw.
Also by the same energy.
Punaha,
again.
Vibharmi,
do maintain.
Tapasa,
by penance.
Vishvam,
the cosmos.
Viryam,
potency.
Me, my.
Duscharam, severe.
Tapaha, penance.
Yes.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation. I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. Translation, please repeat. I create this cosmos, by such penance.
I maintain it
by the same energy. And I withdraw it,
all by the same energy.
Therefore, the potential power is penance only. Purport. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, He wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy.
Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarnam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
So here we see Lord is instructing Brahma. So these instructions coming from Lord himself and the bona fide spiritual master are one and same. There is no difference. Because the spiritual master is known as transparent via media. So he doesn't change the meaning of Lord's instructions. So that's why we say Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastra. All the scripture claim that the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord are one and the same. So when we understand the position of spiritual master, be it any spiritual master, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, or Srila Prabhupada, who is Shiksha Guru for all of us, we should understand that their instructions are same as Supreme Lord's instructions. So once we have this faith, we can very quickly advance in spiritual life. So Lord is giving his directions to his devotees, and he hopes that by following those instructions, one becomes self-realized. So Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita that only Krishna and Krishna's devotee know what is what. So that means Krishna, of course, knows everything perfectly, but his pure devotee also knows everything. So that's why when we take guidance from these pure devotees, we should be very humble. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya. So when we approach these pure devotees and take guidance, we should understand that the instructions given by them are coming straight from Krishna. So the whole spiritual career is basically developing this faith. Because we have a conception that God is somewhere far away and we cannot access him. But the Supreme Lord comes in the form of a spiritual master and gives the same instruction. Once we become purified, then we can directly take directions from Krishna himself. Because Krishna is present within heart of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjun tishtati. So he is guiding all the time, but we are not able to see. So just if we follow this process of bhakti yoga, we can revive our original consciousness and we can understand that how the Lord is appearing as the spiritual master. So this verse is about penance. In last few verses also we were discussing the similar topic. So Lord is saying that penance is my energy by which, you know, I maintain and I, you know, create, and ultimately annihilation is also there of the cosmos. So Lord is doing these three functions through his energies. And himself as well, he is present in this material world in his Vishnu expansion. So creation, maintenance and destruction. So these three are very important phases of this the whole existence of this cosmic manifestation. So once we understand how this happens, then we can see the greatness of Lord. If we try to create something, it's very hard. Whole life, actually, we are trying to create something. We are trying to create relationships. We are trying to create a career. We are trying to, you know, if someone tries to create a family, it's all creation. We are trying to, you know, make plans, create different plans, holiday plans, or, you know, career plans and so on. So we are all creating. But our creation process is very troublesome. Whatever we try to create is very troublesome. So whole year people wait for long weekends and they make plans. But there are so many hindrances on the path of material enjoyment. It's very hard. But for Lord, it's very simple, as Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj was also mentioning, that he just desires and then things happen. But we make plans and try to create things, but it's very hard. And even if we achieve some things, even if we create something, we become bored of it. If you see, so many people have, scientists have created mobile phones. So first time when mobile phones came, they were very heavy, like a brick. And now, and not many functions were there. First the pagers came, you know, you could message. And then this, they called cellular phones came. And that time we thought, oh, it's amazing. That's it, we have achieved the highest way to send information and contact people. But if you see, every day they are trying to make newer and newer versions of the same thing, because they become bored of it. So that's the nature of material energy. Because it's dead, and we cannot be satisfied at heart with dead things, so we become bored. So that's the fault with our creation. But Lord's creation is very perfect. So this whole universe that Lord has created, it's complete in itself. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate. So it has everything required for all of us. And especially for human beings, it has everything, it has got everything for us to make spiritual progress. As again quoting His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, he was saying that how perfect is this creation that, you know, we get pain. So pain is there in this world so that we can realize that this is not our natural position. So we have to seek something higher. So that induces, that should induce a fortunate human being towards self-realization. So Lord's creation, His maintenance and His destruction, everything is perfect. So once we understand this, these pastimes of Lord in the matter of creation and destruction, then we can go further and understand His sweet pastimes as mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here regarding tapasa, we heard the verse in last few classes that aradito yadi haris tapasa tatha kim naradito hari tate naradito yadi haris tapasa tatha kim, that if you are worshipping, if you have reached the platform of loving devotional service to Lord, then what is the need of doing this penance, these austerities? What that means is that the goal of penance is to achieve that loving devotional service. So advanced devotees are not attracted to the penance in itself, because their concentration is upon the devotional service. But automatically they are doing, externally it looks like they are doing penance, but actually their concentration is not there. So the verse in Bhagavad Gita where it discusses that how we should balance everything, yukta har viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukha. So there it is mentioned we should balance everything, our eating, sleeping, recreation and work. So the example given by Prabhupada in the purport is of Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. So Rupa Goswami, he would sleep 2 hours or something, and he was busy in writing literature, bhakti, shastra. and other devotional activities. And Haridas Thakur, he wouldn't sleep or eat before finishing his around 192 rounds. So their concentration was not on eating, sleeping and other material activities. They were busy in spiritual activities and they were relishing those activities. So for such people, Aradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. So they, you know, what's the need of regulated, strict devotional practice? They are automatically doing it. And the second part, naradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim, that if by your austerity you're not able to revive that loving devotional service towards Lord, then what is the use of it? So we are doing different penances, we are trying to follow the instructions of spiritual master. But if we are not developing that, you know, sense of the service attitude, then what is the use? So that's why every now and then we can introspect and take guidance that, you know, I'm not feeling that I'm making advancement. So as we learned in the men's retreat, there was a process given by Burjan Prabhu about weekly and daily scans. We can scan our life that what is stopping us to achieve this goal of a loving devotional service. So here in the purport, Prabhupada writes that even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Now, penance is actually important. That's why it's mentioned in so many verses of this chapter. So why is it important? So Prabhupada first wants us to see from materialistic point of view. So even to achieve something materially, we need to do some sort of penance. If you want to become a big person, you have to do hard work. People work for long, long hours without rest. They sacrifice so many things. They don't go for holidays for years and years because they want to achieve some material position or money. So they go through so many penances. So then the question asked by Prabhupada in the purport is, then, you know, why should we do penance for the perfection of devotional service? That's for the material thing. Materially, people are working hard like ass, you know. What's the example of donkey given again and again in Bhagavatam, in purports and verse as well. So what's the example of a donkey? He works hard for a very small thing which is easily available. He works very hard. So one may say, okay, now I'm trying to practice devotional service. So why should I work hard? So then Prabhupada answers the question himself that he says, an easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. So we have to actually endeavor. We have to do hard work even in the field of devotional service. So we can't be like easygoing. Okay, now everything is available, especially here in Melbourne. Yesterday we were discussing with Nandmani Ru. So much prasadam is there. If you even compare other ISKCON temples, it's not, you know, nowhere we can get so much prasadam free of cost and so easily. So we have been pampered so much. So we can, that's why it is harder actually to become serious in devotional life. If everything is very easily available, so it becomes harder to do penance. So we shouldn't take easy-going life. We have to stretch a little bit. And how much to stretch, that's the question. So if we are sincere, then Krishna will guide us that how much you can go further. Within body and mind and intelligence, there are indications. Like if you, for example, if you run, so the question is how much can you run? It's very simple to answer, you know. You will become tired. You have a X amount of stamina, which can be built up in future. But we have to assess that, okay, that's what I want, but that's what where I am. I cannot do everything, you know. So that's my strength. These are my, skills. So that much I can expand. So it's intelligence is given by Krishna. So we can observe that how much to stretch. There is an elasticity given actually. We can stretch. If you see a rubber band, you can. It has a fixed elasticity. You can stretch up till a limit, and then you can not stretch it, and it will be in natural shape. But if you stretch it too much, it breaks. So that's the art of bhakti. A devotee, by constantly engaging in devotional service, he attains that intelligence. Buddhi yogam dadamitam tesham satata yuktanam bhajtam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yen mamapyantite. So one who is constantly, sincerely engaged in loving devotional service, Krishna will provide this buddhi yoga from within the heart and personalized instructions will be provided that what you have to do in your case. So generally we see that I am something special, you know. So my case is special, you know. So I'm not able to follow everything because I'm little, you know, different. But actually, all of us, in a big sense, we are all same. Although we are individual, but essentially it's all same. Everything we have to do is pretty similar in devotional life. We chant, we take prasad, associate with devotees, do deity worship. So Krishna will provide guidance. So that's why we shouldn't become very easygoing. We should stretch, but we have to understand how much to stretch. So that's what Prabhupada discusses here. And then he writes that he wants to see how painstaking a devotee is. So he's seeing, he's watching us, that how much do you want to stretch for me? Because in material life, people stretch to extreme limits for achieving material goals. So Krishna wants to see, you know, are you willing to take some pain for me? So one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is sudurlabha. It is rarely achieved. It's very hard to achieve. Because Krishna wouldn't give it to an unqualified person. He wants to see, are you genuinely deserving this pure devotional service? Then he will give very easily. So that's one characteristic of pure devotional service. On the material platform, when people are doing different penances, they are based on the factor of envy. So in one of the lectures of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains this concept of envy. So envy, how it works is, it actually doesn't much matter how much you have. If you are envious of someone, you want to take things from him that he deserves. So that's envy. So you may have everything possible, but why does this other person has this? So that's what Prabhupada was explaining. Because he was explaining how much envious Duryodhan was. He had the whole kingdom. He has usurped the whole kingdom. And now after spending so many years in the forest, all the Pandavas came and they asked, okay, give us 5 villages. He said, I won't give you even that much land so that you can drive a pin, you know, the tip of a pin. So how envious is that? How much, you know, envious one has to be? So Prabhupada was explaining, one wants to take the rightful claim of others. That is envy. He may have everything. So this envy drives people to do penance. So one may have one car, no, but the neighbor has two cars, so I must work harder to get one more car. So that's envy. One can be satisfied with one car and a simple life. But no, envy drives you to achieve more and more and more. So that's why as practicing devotees also we have to keep this in mind, that if I am stretching too much, is it because of envy or, you know, something else? Sorry, it's pretty boring. So here we have to understand that for Krishna, when we do penance, it's out of love. So penance itself is a great burden, but this is a burden of love. So when we, like for example, when parents, they love their child, they are ready to undergo anything, sleepless nights and so on, whole, you know, so many years and years. Even when they grow up, they are in 20s or something, they just take care of their kids financially and, you know, emotionally. It's a great endeavor and penance. So that's the burden of love. So same way for Krishna, we have to endeavor. So that is penance. So Srila Prabhupada, he further writes in the end of the purport, so what is required to do this penance? So he says, one who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. So there's famous quote statement by Prabhupada that for a rigid practitioner, success is guaranteed. So what is this rigidity? That is determination. So again and again, by different acharyas, these concepts are being repeated. So Rupa Goswami says, utsaha nishchaya dharya. So this nishchaya, Krishna himself says, nishchayen yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa, that by this determination, you can achieve the end of this yoga process. So determination is very important. So the example given in Bhagavad Gita is of the sparrow. So the sparrow lost her eggs in the ocean. And when she asked the ocean to return the eggs, oh, the ocean wouldn't return. So she said, okay, I would empty the ocean. So what she would do is pick up some water in her beak and drop that water on the land. So she kept doing that. So it's an impossible task. Just see the volume of ocean and how much ocean water can a sparrow hold in the beak. Just a couple of drops. But she was determined. So seeing that, Garuda became compassionate and he came and he asked the ocean that, please return the eggs, otherwise I will take up this task personally and empty and dry up the ocean. So then ocean got scared and returned the eggs. So that's the determination. So actually what we are trying to do is something like that sparrow. As Maharaj was mentioning last evening, that we are in this ocean of material existence, bhavambudhi. And we are trying to cross it. It's like an impossible task. Krishna himself says, Devi esha gunamai mam maya duratyaya. It's very hard to cross over this ocean. But we are trying it, all of us. You know, we are trying to cross this ocean. So it's almost an impossible task. But then what happens is, a Garuda-like devotee comes. And he helps us to cross it over this ocean. So that's spiritual master, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. So Srila Prabhupada is like that Garuda. So he's helping us by giving these instructions on how to cross this ocean. So that's the determination. So if we have determination that we have to do it, that's our original position that we have to attain. So then we can do it. So what is the result of material penance? It's pride. So why we do, as we were explaining, why we do different penances on the material platform is due to envy. But when you do that penance, you may get the result of it, and that results in pride. So it's like an unending, it's like a vicious circle. We get caught in it, and then you want more and more and more. There is no end to lust, this material desire. There is no end. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina. So kam rupena. So this lust is like fire, and it cannot be satisfied. So more you get material things, the more you want. You want more and more and more. And when you achieve those possessions or positions, there's two things, possessions and positions, so you become proud. So that pride induces us to offend others. So that's why as practicing devotees, we have to be very careful. Because we are doing so much penance for attaining devotional service, we will achieve many things, many positions, many possessions. But if we become proud, we will offend others. So that's the great danger. So at every time we have to be very cautious, very careful. Materialist person thinks that there is no one better than him. But a devotee thinks everyone else is better than me. So it's a totally opposite mentality. Trinadapi shunichena tarori vasoishnana. So he thinks he is very low, just like a straw in the street. He gives respect to everyone. But materialist, he thinks that, you know, he is the greatest person. One incident which took place around maybe 15 years back, I was in India, and one time I was riding on a scooter with my cousin. And in scooter, what we had was when the fuel tank was nearing the empty mark, it would stop, you know, and then you have to turn a knob to reserve. So there is some petrol which was in reserve. Then it would go some more, few more kilometers, and you can reach the petrol pump, fill more petrol. So it had reached that reserve mark some time back, and I neglected. I said, yeah, we will fill petrol, no problem. So now we were returning home, and that reserve petrol also finished. So now we were on the road. It was getting dark. It was dark, actually, that time. So now we said, what to do? The petrol pump is like, it was like around 2 kilometers away. We said, what to do? We have to walk. So we were walking with the scooter. So then we walked a little bit. We were very tired, and, you know, we were thinking, oh, no, what to do. So we were just walking. And then one man came on another scooter. He said, every petrol is finished? As we said, yes. He said, okay, you both sit on the scooter. I'll push you from behind. So we sat on the scooter, and with his foot, he pushed our scooter. And we were just riding, you know. So he was pushing us, and with his the power of his scooter. So we reached the petrol pump, and we were very thankful. So I thought also that we will thank this person. But what he did, just before we reached, he pushed us enough, and he just left. He didn't stop. And we were like, oh, he didn't even stop. You know, we should have talked to him, taken his number, stay in touch. But he just left. So what we understood we were not devotees that time, but we could appreciate. So two things that he helped us, and he didn't want to take appreciation and credit, so he just left. So that's one thing. So we wanted to thank him. So I thought, yeah, he's a good man. So I thought, yeah, I used to think I'm a very good person. But I was a little bit devastated what my cousin told me after that. So I said, yeah, he was a good man, he should have stopped. And he said, yeah, yes. So as young boys, we were pretty, you know, as a usual, karmi young boys, we were very depressed and stressed out people due to different sinful activities. So what he said, yes, he was a very nice person. And I always thought that there are no nice people in this world. But now today I've found one. So what I thought, how can you think like that? I am a nice person, you know, and you're saying there is no nice person. So I felt very bad. I didn't say anything to him. So I was thinking a couple of days back that what, you know, how do we estimate ourselves? We overestimate our qualities. We may be a very sinful person, but due to these sinful activities, our intelligence gets covered. And we think we are very good. We are much better than others. So that's what material life does to us. So we do these so many penances materially. And because we are stressed, we engage in sinful activities. And these sinful activities cover us. And we cannot understand spiritual knowledge. So that's why people are very dull these days. Very hard to find intelligent people. They're by meat eating, intoxication, they have become so dull, they cannot even function normally. They cannot do regular material activities also properly. And the government is helping them to become more and more dull. They give them these money, even if you don't have work, you give money and they can take more intoxication. And then job agencies have to stress so much to give them, you know, so give them some jobs. They keep calling them and they're very dull. So, but this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, as it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, it can react to a layman. A layman, a common man who is so dull, if he just hears Srimad Bhagavatam, he can become purified. Because there is no limit to the power of the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. It can act on anyone, the most sinful person as well. Even butchers can be benefited. The most sinful people are butchers, you know, they are killing other living entities. So their knowledge is covered to the greatest degree. But Srimad Bhagavatam can even purify them. It says that the dog eaters even, they can become purified. They are the lowest among mankind. So that's the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by doing this penance, we can see that how slowly we are progressing on this path. And then we can give this knowledge to others. Last Friday I was distributing books on Swanson Street. So usually people are very dull when you see, they don't even want to stop. And when you explain them this, you know, you are not the body, you are the soul. It's a great puzzle for them. Oh, is it? You know, it's a basic fact of spiritual knowledge. Just this beginning point. But this is very difficult for people to understand. So I stopped one young boy, student. So I explained about Bhagavad Gita, and he was intelligent actually. He understood a little bit. And then I told her, this is Prabhupada. He translated in English from Sanskrit. And see, the famous people have read it. Mahatma Gandhi, Einstein. So he said, okay. So he asked the question, that who actually wrote it? So no one asked me this question earlier, so I said, oh yeah, sometimes I had mentioned, but no one asked. So I said, yeah, Vyas wrote it, Vyasdev. And somehow I just said, he's still living in the Himalayas. And then he said, how? So he was intelligent, he understood. So he said, how is this possible? You know, you were saying Gandhi and all read it, and you were saying the author is still present. So same doubt was presented by Arjun. He said in fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that, you know, you said that you gave this knowledge to Vivashvan, the sun god, but he is senior to you by birth. He was living from so long, and you are my cousin. You just came along 100 years back. So how is it possible? So this boy asked me, so then I said, somehow I explained him, I said, this may be a little far out for you, but, you know, isn't it worth it to have a look at this book, which famous people have read, like Gandhi and all? So that made sense to him, and he took the book. That although I may not be able to understand that how Vyasadev is still existing on a great spiritual platform, but it's worth having a look once in life. So that's why this literature can purify anyone. Just by coming in touch with these books or prasadam or devotees, people can become purified. Although they are so dull by material sinful activities, but they can become purified. We all have come from so many different types of backgrounds. So if we can come, then anyone can come. So, just to summarize, what we discussed was about penance and how even materialists are doing penance, and how we can correctly apply penance in our spiritual life and achieve the topmost perfection. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu. Because we don't have motivation. That's the point. Materialist has a motivation, of which the highest motivation is sense enjoyment with the opposite gender. So now, that's what is lacking in Krishna consciousness movement. You're saying four regulative principles, and you're telling me to do hard work, so it doesn't make sense materially. So that's why our motivation has to be purified. So motivation has to be Krishna's pleasure in each activity. Because materialistic person is working hard for his own sense enjoyment. So he will work hard, you know, day and night. So we lose that interest because of these principles. So that's why we have to purify our motivation from personal sense enjoyment to Krishna's sense enjoyment. Any other questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You were saying that, you know, envy drives the penance in material and then use a result of pride. What is the result of, you know, if you have a lot of penance to Krishna? You say I have a result of Maharaj.
Result, yesterday Maharaj was discussing the prayojan, prema. Prema Bhakti. So when you do penance for Krishna, you achieve prema. Prema Pumartho Mahan. That's the greatest result we are after. We are not desireless. We desire pure devotional service. Why? Not because we can be counted amongst one of the great devotees. Not because of that name and fame. Not because of these things. But so that we can serve Krishna purely, more and more, for more service. One does penance so that he can continue to do that penance for Krishna's pleasure.
Any immediate
results? Yes, immediate results also you get. Yes.
Like, you know,
Yeah, immediate result also, like we see Cheto Darpan Mahajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. If you see, if you just remember your past life, material life, we were very distressed. As soon as we come in touch with Krishna consciousness, we become very happy. So that's like all material desires, all worries which were there, which were unreal, they go away immediately. We have not reached a pure bhakti level or even bhava stage, or even we haven't crossed anartha nivritti stage, maybe not on the nishtha platform, but still immediately we can see the result. We are very happy. When you take prasad, you chant Hare Krishna, go to Harinam, it's very enjoyable activities. You can compare, you know, what, how much we were happy in our material life. You know, we can, and you can analyze during 24 hours, 10 hours I was worrying earlier, but now maybe 2 hours I'm worrying. There's an immediate result, you know. And so many, we get rid of so many bad habits. You can see, they don't attract us. Previously we were slaves of many bad habits. Maybe not you, I can say for myself. Actually, yeah, one time I was like very surprised. How am I able to, you know, give up my bad habits? Very surprising. Immediately, very soon it happens. Like meat eating goes away very quickly. Immediate result. Once you start taking prasad regularly, meat eating goes away very quickly. But if you tell a person, materialist, give up meat eating, it's impossible for them. Impossible. But for a person who is taking prasadam regularly, immediately you can leave meat eating. Immediately means in a few months, or even in few years, if you can give, 2-3 years, if one can give up meat eating by regular prasad intake, it's a miracle actually. As compared to millions of lifetimes, just a short time you can give up so many things. It's called immediate result. Okay, any last question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.